The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pot of thunder and rock and roll, and happy Valentine's Day.
I'll miss you, kiss you, give you my coat when you are cold. Need you, feed you, even let you hold the remote control. So let me do the dishes in our kitchen sink, put you to bed when you've had too much to drink. Oh, I could be the man who grows old with you.
And to prove we're not totally heartless here at Talk is Jericho, we've got one of wrestling's power couples, Will Ospreay and his Mrs. Bea Priestley will be here. You'll hear the story of how they met. The first thing Will said to her, which should have had her running in the other direction. And you know we're going to talk a lot of wrestling. Will's controversial and amazing match against Ricochet that ultimately led to the Twitter feud and, war against Vader. Will's got some great behind-the-scenes stories about how that all went down, especially the night of the match. And he and B are talking about Japan and why they love working there so much. Plus, you'll find out the real reason Will decided not to re-sign with Ring of Honor and instead go full-time with New Japan. And it's not, well, you might think. Here we go. Will Ospreay and his missus celebrating Valentine's Day right here on Talk is Jericho.
Love is more than just a game for two. Two in love can make it. Take my heart and please don't break it. Love was made for me and you.
All right, so I feel very proper because I'm here in the room with the two English, the couple, the power couple, Will Ospreay and Bea Priestley, and it's exciting to be here in Japan talking to you guys. And are you a little jet lagged?
Hell yeah,
really bad.
But this is
kind of.
No, we were just saying, Bea, you were just in Japan for Stardom, right?
Yes.
And how long was that?
I came from, must have been 11th of October until 12th of December. Just 2 months tour with Stardom. I came over with another English girl and two girls from Women of Honor as well.
Mm-hmm. How was it? How was Stardom? Because it's kind of a big deal now, isn't it?
Yeah, it was kind of like my goal to always want to go there. Like, I've always wanted to go to Japan, but I always wanted to go to Stardom in particular.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually really enjoyed just training with a bunch of other girls who were so much higher.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like I learned a lot, and like I found out what I wanted to do as a wrestler. Like, I hadn't really found quite what I wanted to do as like character wise or
mm-hmm.
specific star wise. But over here it's like, no, you only do this sort of thing because that suits you, and this is because the crowds are so different here as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I kind of feel when you did get a reaction it meant more
mm-hmm.
than like in England when they just kind of yelling through.
Drinking beer on a Saturday night. And how was that for you, Will? Because you're coming to Japan quite a bit too, so you got to actually see your girl as well.
Oh, that was the best thing. Like, I said this a while ago, right? I thought I had some weird sort of depression. I'm not even joking, but I just get lonely. Mm-hmm. I get really lonely sometimes. I don't know if you get it as well, but every hotel room seems like a prison these days.
Mm.
Like, And that's so weird for me to say because I've only just started.
Yeah. On this, like, right.
I've literally been doing like contract work for 2 years now. Mm-hmm. Like my contract's actually coming up soon. But like, or I'm just like, God, I just hate being like on my own. It's just so weird. But this one was actually really nice because she was actually staying like 20 minutes away from me.
Like 10 minutes.
Yeah, it was literally a 10 minute train ride. So it was actually nice to actually spend time with someone who's actually. And the thing that I actually liked about it is we were both here for different reasons. Like, mm-hmm. normally if I would go do, like, WrestleMania weekend, I'd be like, oh, I'm just going to fly the missus in and we can, like, just chill out and she would go see her mates, I'd see mine.
Or, like, today, like, you know, she'd come to hang out, right?
But, like, she was here for her own work and I was here for mine. And it was just nice to actually meet in the middle.
Yeah. Is that hard? Like, I've never had a couple on the show before that both in the business. Is it hard with your schedule be going here and Will, you're going there? Or
I mean,
Will
sometimes
finds
it, yeah,
it
I find
than
it.
Me.
Oh, yeah?
She actually loves getting rid of me.
I think when I was here, like, and Will, when Will wasn't over at the time, I was so busy. I didn't really.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds awful. I don't really miss him as much as I normally would if so I was in England because I've every.
You're just on your own doing nothing. Yeah. Yeah, right.
Because I was in an apartment with three other girls. I wasn't on my own.
Mm-hmm.
In England, like when I'm not, when I'm at home, I'm on my own. Like,
yeah.
So.
You got me mum and dad.
Oh, yeah, but like.
A dog. How, that.
How long have you guys been a couple for?
This February will be 2 years.
Mm. Mm. Did you meet on a show?
Well, yeah. Yes, no, and maybe. Like, I saw her. I was like, oh, she's hot. I'm going to introduce myself to her. And I messed up introducing myself to her. So, like, I was like, oh, great. Well, I've just ruined
what
that.
What did you say?
I said, Will, my name is Hi.
No.
Yeah.
What did you think when he said that?
I don't even remember this. I think I probably had a couple
see,
of
see, that's
drinks.
How much of a, like, that's okay. How much of, like, a lasting impact I left on her. Like.
You said, hi, Will, my name is Hi.
Yeah.
That's like something out of a bad movie.
It is. And that is how bad of a, that's how tragic of a person I am, mate.
I don't think I probably wanted to offend you. I was probably like, oh, hello.
But it's funny, though, when you say those type of things and you think it was so bad and you didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It was tragic for me, though. Like, I'm just like, right. I know the missus over there, like, I was with the girl at the time she was there, so I was like, she's saying hello to everyone, I was like, right, I'm going to just say hello, and I messed up, and I was like, right, that's the last time I speak to her, then I did speak to her for, like, ages, and then, yeah, and then we just met up through some friends and just hang out, and then we just realised that we got similar interests, and we just kicked off, I feel, anyway, or that, or I'd put, you were just amazed by my pelvic sorcery, I don't know.
Pelvic sorcerer?
Yeah.
Did you guys both grow up as wrestling fans?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
No, you didn't.
I started watching wrestling when I was 14.
Ah.
So, that's quite.
My dad would sit me down and make me watch War is Raw. Raw is War? That's it.
My whole family,
Will, my name is Hi.
Like, hates wrestling.
Huh?
My whole family hates wrestling.
Oh, really?
So I've got two older sisters, so I'm pretty much like, whatever they like, I must like too. So if they didn't like wrestling, I wasn't really supposed to like it either. And then...
Look who you are now.
Yeah, no kidding. What do your parents think?
Oh, no, they're happy. I think they're actually happy that I can actually earn enough money to kind of like live off it now. And I've always said I wanted to do it.
I think that's always been the main worry though, because it's not... It's such a weird thing when you go to school and you're like, oh, what do you want to do when you grow up? Wrestler. And especially in England as well. And where she's based in New Zealand. So like,
really,
there is nothing out there.
Yeah.
Wow.
I immigrated there when I was like 10.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, and I grew up and then I moved back to England when I was 19.
Oh, okay.
Especially because I can imagine from her parents' point, she's just like, I'm moving back to England. Why? To pursue being a wrestler. It's like, oh my God, no.
I want to train at Progress.
Like, but I remember when I first said that, like, you're in the 1990 or whatever, you might as well
have been born.
Yeah, right, exactly, right? Old man Jericho. You might as well have told people you wanted to be like a sword swallower in a circus or a mime or something, be like a wrestler. Like, really? You couldn't believe that someone would actually do that. You know, but it's a little bit different now, but it's still like when you tell somebody what you want to do and say wrestler, people kind of look at it a little bit strange at times, you know?
Yeah, because it's still just unrealistic. Like It's always funny when you go to like a bar and someone goes, "Oh, what do you do?" And you say, "Oh, I'm a wrestler." Really? I've never met one of them before.
Right, never, like, never met one of you guys before. Yeah. Yeah, like we're some kind of alien race or something. Right. Yeah.
In peace, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, I'd always find it weird, especially with like school and stuff like that. And loads of people, especially in England, because it's so hard, especially back then when this whole British boom didn't exist. It's like, oh, like I had teachers constantly go up to me, Dad, and just be like, "Hey, look, your son can't be a professional wrestler." And then it was just like, "Well, why can't he?" And then they'd be like, "Well, for starters, he's English." And it was just like, "That's your reason? Like, that's your excuse?"
That's interesting. So what started the British boom? Because it is very, very big,
like,
right now.
I can't really put like a real pinpoint of what started it. But if I was going to like throw something out there, you know, PWG, right?
Yeah.
I would say it was because Zach went over to PWG and because
Zach
like,
Sabre.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because like that's, I would say, the highest DVD independent company, I would say. I think it's got a lot of buzz behind it and people were just like, "Oh, who's the guy in the British flag?" And I think it just wowed people with this like old school style of wrestling. And for me, you type in Zack Sabre Jr. into YouTube, the first thing that came up was him versus Prince Devitt of Finn Balor from Progress, and it was like an entire free show. So people got to actually watch an entire really good production of British wrestling that featured myself, Marty, wow, there was loads of guys on that show, Jimmy Havoc, Mark Andrews. And
I
then
found out about it through TNA Boot Camp.
Oh, my
it's
God.
Hot, I know, it's hot, like, but that's how like, I found out about Spud.
Yeah,
and right, right.
Marty, that I'd never heard of Marty before, and they were both on that, and then the Blossom Twins as well were on it.
But that's the thing. There's a lot of English stars now on the scene, even to the point where, you know, WWE has the UK division, I think, basically just to stop, you know, the progress, no pun intended, of the UK, you know, scene in a lot of ways.
Do you really think so?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure of it. I think they found out that World of Sport was going to do a show.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, okay, well, let's sign some of the guys.
Yeah,
and that way,
stop them from going.
You know what I mean? Because that's the thing. Like, when you start becoming dangerous in each territory, the WWE, like Vince, will know and not want that to really blossom, I would think, right?
Yeah, yeah, I guess so. You'd hear rumors about that because, like, I was really excited when I heard about the World of Sport was coming back. I was like, oh, brilliant. Like, and it was just weird because then Jack Gallagher got signed to WWE. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, what an unfortunate time. He could have partaken in that. And then it was like, as soon as that happened, it was just like, there was a. I just remember being in Japan and all of a sudden it was just like, "Hey guys, we're doing WWE UK Championship Tournament." I was like, what? Where's this coming from? It was just
It's not just random. It's not just a coincidence.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It would just come out of nowhere. And no, actually, you say it. It does line up.
Yeah. It's interesting though because there's a lot of guys now like yourself, and you're talking about, you know, Marty or time with the Bucks or Kenny Omega, that are not going to WWE and are doing really well just on your own, making your own schedule and doing your own thing.
Yeah.
Have you ever had any thought of WWE, or you appreciate?
I mean, like as a kid, you would always want your WrestleMania, and you always want to be like yourself or like a John Cena or like any of those guys, like, because they're the larger in life characters and they're the guys you grew up watching. So like, it's always been in the back of my mind, but then as I've come here and I've grown up more, I'm like, well, I don't do very well like traveling as it is, and those guys were wrestling on Christmas Day and New Year's, and that would have killed me. Like, Christmas for me is family. I love being with my family, and like, that would have just murdered me. I don't think I could do it. I really don't think so. Like, I had a phone call the other day, actually, asking to, like, there was questioning contracts and stuff like that. So I was just like, oh, I appreciate it, but I'm quite happy here. Mm-hmm. Like, I love being a part of this.
Well, you love New Japan is your full-time gig?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I signed here 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and everything's just changed. Like, as soon as, like, you wrestle these guys, and loads of people say it all the time, oh, you get good when you go to Japan. You'll get so good when you go to Japan. I was like, oh, I mean, let's see how it goes. And I was like, wow, these guys are on a new level. Like,
Right. But that pushes you to get better as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
exactly.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Me would put you on the map. Will was the from my perspective was the match with Ricochet,
yeah,
which was the most talked about, you know, match, and it was just unbelievable, and of course caused big controversy because some people I definitely want to hear that story, but talk about the reaction to that match because it was a real work of art.
Like honestly, I didn't have like proper Wi-Fi like at the time, so I came back from that match and.
Where was it? Was it in Corrigan Hall?
Yeah, okay. It was just in Corrigan. And like me and Trev, like we've done that match, not that specific match, but like a similar style of that match before.
Mm-hmm.
So like I honestly didn't really expect, like I felt it was special because the crowd was saying, this is awesome, holy shit, and I'm like, I swear, aren't I?
In Japan they were saying it, right?
Yeah, but like the crowd was saying it and I was like, that's cool. Like I've never heard that before. And we came backstage and me and Trev were like, that was cool, right? And he was like, yeah. We went, all right, see you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And we just went to bed. I didn't check my phone or anything.
Yeah, yeah,
and then I looked at my phone and it was nonstop.
Right.
I was like, oh my God, what did we do? But the ones that just always like stuck out, it was really nice, like real nice compliments. And then like a day would go by and it was like, oh, still nice little compliments there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was starting to die down. And then that's when Vader come in and then it was just like, and then there were people just fighting over it. Like, this isn't wrestling. This is wrestling. There's different varieties as this. And I was just like, Trev, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know what to do. I've never had this much internet buzz, like, ever. It was scary.
I think, weren't we DMing about it? You and I were talking about it? Yeah.
Originally, we wanted to do me, you, and Trevor.
Right.
We wanted to sit down there, but, like,
right.
Our schedules were just
didn't work out. Right.
Never would line up.
What did you think about that match, B?
It's kind of what Will said. I've seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not been on that exposure level. But you've done it in England. You've done it at Evolve. You've done it again at What Culture afterwards. But it's just pretty much like oh, okay, that's just what they do.
Yeah, it's just that everybody kind of just knows that. So that was maybe the opening high spot, or there's a couple spots that are just unbelievable, like something out of a Jackie Chan movie or something like that.
That's what we wanted to do, like, because Ricochet's inspired me so much, especially I feel like I learned a lot of how to structure a match from wrestling him. He was actually my first ever American that I actually ever wrestled.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like I learned a lot from him. So I don't know, like, I was like, if you're going to put Will Ospreay against Ricochet, you're going to want them to bounce against each other, like do them better than anyone else can do them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we envisioned it. We saw it as like some crazy Avengers meets Justice League, like movie. That's how we've just always seen our matches. And then when it happened, it was just like, we knew we had something special the moment we'd done the double handspring Superman pose, because the crowd just, it was like they'd never seen something like that before in their life.
They hadn't? I've been wrestling for 27 years and I haven't seen, I mean, obviously I've seen some great matches and great, like Rey Mysterio versus Psychosis in 95, one of the most amazing matches I've ever seen, actually in Japan here, WAR. But this was like a modern day version of that, like taking it to the next level, you know?
Such a huge compliment.
I bet you Oscar would say the same if he was here, because it was just like, you can tell that you and Ricochet have this amazing chemistry and the timing of everything too, which is perfect for that.
Yeah, and I don't know what happened, I really don't, but everyone just started chiming in. There was just people just fighting, like literally arguing each other,
yeah,
cursing each other out, and even like Regal got involved as well, and I was just like, oh my God, like what is going on?
And
like,
what did he say?
Well, it was so weird. It was just like, well, what they were doing were like what heavyweights would steal back in the day and stuff like that. And honestly, for the life of me, I can't remember what he'd say, but like,
it was complimentary. Yeah, though,
it was
right?
Really,
like, there's different styles of wrestling.
Yeah, but like the one thing that stuck out about it is because like in a weird way, like, I've always been brought up, like, you're not allowed to talk about the other company. Like, don't talk about WWE, or don't talk about New Japan, or don't, TNA can't mention this, or whatever. And he was, like, being really overcomplimentary. And then you were talking about it, and then Rollins was talking about it. I was like, we're, like, breaking, like, down a wall. I don't know what we're doing. Like, I'm scared.
And tell me, let's talk about the Vader thing. What did he say, and how did that all come together?
Well, he just called it what it was. He was just like, oh, it's glorified gymnastics. It's a dance routine. It's not wrestling. And I quoted it. I, like, retweeted. I went, cheers for the share, mate. Like,
yeah, you were taking the piss out of him, yeah.
I was taking the piss. I was just like, fuck it. Like,
right.
Take the piss out of me. I'll take the piss back. And he just wouldn't stop. So I was just like, have we got a New Japan World up coming up soon? And I was like, I know this is going to be made into a GIF. I was like, I'm going to do a Vader bomb. I'm going to do a Vader bomb and let the guy kick out one. Like, because for us, it's banter. It's having a laugh. It's playing a little practical joke. But I think he took offense to it, like, especially because I've done it really shitty.
Yeah.
T-shirt too, didn't you?
Yeah, and then I've done the T-shirt. Like,
what does the T-shirt say?
It's Osprey time. Like, I've just done a parody off of him. Like... And then he was just getting really, really hot. And then he was just like, he's putting a message like, I'd fuck Osprey up, shoot style. I was like, all right, I think he actually wants to fight me. Like, and I remember Vader as, like, Vader. Like, I was seeing
from, killer. Yeah.
The murder in Japan.
Like, yeah, right.
And that's how I was just like, man, I don't want to get in a fight with this guy. So, like, he wouldn't stop. And I was just like, oh, I'm blocking this guy. I can't be bothered. Like, so I just blocked him.
Mm-hmm.
But then his fans would keep messaging me. I'm just like, what is going on? So I had to unblock him. And he was legit calling me out. Like, I was like, is this real? Like, I was even showing B. I was just like, is he actually calling me out for a fight? And I don't know if you ever heard him, but he's a guy that trained me quite a lot. His name's Paul Robinson, wrestler in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And when the match got announced, because, so he said, hey, email me. Here's my email. And honestly, I thought he was going to have it out. I was just like, right, there's my phone number. Like, call me if you've got such a problem. I thought he was going to, like... I was going to proper have it out.
Meet me at the flagpole by 3:30 after school.
But he was like... That'd be brilliant. But he was just like, no, I want to do a match. I want to work with you. He was like, I've never hurt anyone in my life. And I was like, there's the one thing I've wrote. It's like, he knocked...
Bullshit.
That's actually said. Yeah. Like, didn't you knock Ric Flair's teeth out?
Like, yeah, like countless guys, right.
He would hurt so many guys. He was like, I've never hurt anyone. I was like, well, that's a lie. And I was just like... You know what? Yeah, I'll do a match. And he was just like, I want to do 3 matches. I was like, no. Like, I was like, I'll do 1 match and I'll do it in London. That's it. Mm-hmm. I was like, I want it in my ballpark because I feel like...
Right.
Because once again, like, I'm still a kid. Like, I don't really know what's going on here. Like,
yeah.
So like, I still feel like he's going to fight me. So, yeah, Paul called me up and it was a match announcement. It was like Van Vader versus Osprey. This is real. I was just like... And he called up and Paul is 5'4", bless him, but he's literally one of the toughest guys I know. Like, I'm scared of Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And he went, is this thing like legit? Is it going to be like a legit fight? And I was like, mate, being honest with you, I don't even know. And he was like, right, I'm getting front row ticket then, because if he hurts you, I will jump that barrier. I will. And the idea in my head of this 5'4" Paul beating the shit out of Vader, like the part of me just going, oh no, Paul, he's hurting me, help.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, right, just
to jumping it over and just like jumping on his back and stabbing him or something like that.
Right.
Paul's that type of lunatic. You probably would stab a human being if he needed to.
So did you guys sell out the show in London?
Yeah, literally that match announcement alone sold out York Hall, which was quite happy about. Like,
what is that? What's the capacity of that?
1,500.
That's
so
okay. So.
Nothing to like. I don't know,
no, that's great.
Stadium. Nothing to your stadiums.
Dude, if you can draw 1,500 people to an indie show, that's huge.
Yeah, I was.
You know,
I was blessed with it. I was so over the moon. But,
so, how did the match go? Not good.
If you ask Chris Hero, he will say it's his favorite match ever.
Oh, okay.
But for me, like, I have the. It's just, to me, it's a hilarious story that I told it on High Spots where I was just really, really drunk. And, like, I regret telling it so much. But
Right.
I think it's funny. Like, the whole situation, I thought it was just hilarious when he's just, like, he walks in, I say hello to him, and, like, I look at this man, and I'm like, oh, my God, he's, like, really old, and he can't even look after him. It's like,
he's an old, yeah, he's fat, like, guy, yeah, now.
He just,
yeah,
like, looked ill, didn't he?
Yeah, and, right, like, I'm trying to have a conversation with him, and, like, B's over there just talking with, like, my dad and someone else, and he's just staring at her. Like, I was just like,
he wants to eat her for lunch or something. That's the way you're looking like.
Yeah. And I was just like, you're right, mate. You're just staring at my missus. And he went, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, and like, I spoke to him about how I feel like the match should go. And I was just like, just beat me up for everything and I'll just sell. And then let me just get like my one little minute in. And I was just like, it was like, okay. But one of the things that Andy was just like, look, he thinks he's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
He's not, but he thinks he is. So let's try and make him think that, like, because
right.
He's been a nightmare.
Right,
like,
right.
The stories I could tell you, like, I'll happily tell you off microphone.
Yeah, sure,
I don't
sure.
want to see my cock.
No, I gotcha.
But it was just like, so we had Pete. I was in a feud with Pete Dunne at the time mm-hmm. for this company.
Great guy, yeah.
And the thing that made me laugh about this whole thing, I was like, okay, so at this point, when I go up to the top rope, Pete Dunne's music's going to hit. He's going to come through the crowd, hit me with his finish. You guys shake hands. You guys form an alliance. And then when he goes to crack me with the title, because I was Cruiserweight champ at the time, Ricochet comes down and he goes, oh, sorry, who's that? Mm-hmm. And I went, why are we here? Like, I was like, why are we having this match?
Yeah.
It was like, wait, so which one's my partner? And I was like, oh, are you serious? Like, you don't know which one's your partner?
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, wait, so the tanned one's your partner? I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this is even happening. Like, I was laughing. I'm looking at Ricochet, like, trying not to tear up.
Right.
So good. And, like, you could see it in the match. Just like, I just get frustrated at points, and he's actually, like, punching me at points. I'm just like, this guy's hurting me.
Mm-hmm.
You see it in the match. I'll have to show you it. It's funny. It's really funny to me.
Mm.
And I hit him with the handspring, like, enziguri, and I can throw that really hard, and I don't know why I just threw it really hard, and I clocked him with it. I felt bad afterwards. It was just like, where am I? And I was just like, oh my God, I've knocked out a 61-year-old man. I was like, oh, this is bad. And then I start calling him stuff, and then I go, like, I tease, I go, Oscar, catch me, Lariat. And you can see me go down. I'm like, here, I'm going, catch me, Lariat. I do it. That's the thing. And then it comes to the point, he's done the alliance with Pete. Ricochet runs out, slides in. I'll never forget. I wish Andy put this on the microphone on camera. He slides in. He knows this is happening. He goes, who the fuck is this guy? And I literally just, I just stop saying everything. I just look at him. We've been through this. How do you not know this is happening?
It's the tan guy. Oh, man. So ridiculous to think, like you said, like that this whole thing started from
Twitter.
It's just a match.
It's a Twitter
from a match that you had.
And the fact is, I said to him, I went, did you watch the match? And he went, no, I watched a GIF. And
I was like,
I was like, this is so our generation these days. Yeah, like, you won't even give the match a chance. You literally just judge it on, like, a 15-second GIF?
Sure. And that's it. And gets so uproar
about
it.
Just gets angry about it.
Mm-hmm. Who did you train with, B, when you started wrestling?
In New Zealand, Travis Banks used to train me. He's like,
he's a progress champ.
Okay.
But we were both in New Zealand at the time. But then, when I came to England, who trained me?
What?
because Will trains me now. But okay. Originally it was, like the progress was like James Davis and Daryl Allen.
You'd really like Travis Banks. I've heard
his name a few times. Yeah.
You would love him. He's like, without being hilarious about this thing, but it's like he's like a little Benoit, like the way he moves and stuff like that. His presence.
So intense, isn't he?
Yeah. So good. I think you'd really like him. And like, he can change his character all the time. He does his haters gimmick.
When he goes camp, Travis.
Yeah.
So when you came to Japan for Stardom, was that your first time in Japan?
Yeah.
And what did you think of the country?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
I asked to extend my tour. I was only supposed to stay until the end of the tournament. But then
it was about
4 weeks,
weren't it? And then you was like, can I stay for the two?
Yeah, it was about 5 weeks. And I was like, can I just stay till when, like, Katie and Kelly go? And he was like, if you want to, yeah, no problem. And I was like, sweet. And I'm coming back. I've got two tours this year as well for about 6 months. In Japan this year.
With Stardom again.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, so I was like, I was really worried that they'd hate me and never want me back. So I was like really happy when they're like, oh, do you want
so
me
when
back?
You when you come for Stardom, they bring, like you said, four girls at a time, and you live in an apartment.
Yeah, I think they've had up to like six girls in the apartment.
Yeah.
But yeah, we all live in the apartment together, and yeah, pretty much we all dojo together. We, you know, go to Mid-Breath when partners we want to. We go on our own.
We go Roppongi.
The look on your face as you said that.
Yes.
Yeah, Roppongi. Do you have a show like three times a week or once a week, or how many shows do you have when you're there?
It depends, because we had when we had the tournament, like when it was the finals, I had like three matches that weekend. But then sometimes we'd always have at least one show a weekend. But yeah, it would just depend. I think probably the most we had was like three.
Most of the time you're on holiday. It's like literally every day you'll train. Yeah, every day you'll train.
No, it's not holiday. Like,
every day you'll train, and then the rest of the day is kind of yours to do what you want to do, isn't it?
Well, kind of. But then when you're not doing anything, you kind of don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
Because you're doing like, you know, when you're dojo training, you got 3 hours of like
hard workouts and stuff, right? Yeah.
And then usually we go to like. Go to Mid-Breath.
And
then,
what's Mid-Breath?
That's the gym that all this stuff girls use. It's like one-on-one personal training.
Gotcha.
But
I forget as well, you done that Osaka and you left like 1 a.m. in the morning to try.
Yeah, we drove
keep
back.
Keep forgetting about that.
I know, we got back at 1 a.m. in the morning. We're supposed to get back at like 9.
Do you find this? I don't know if it's just me, but I could wrestle forever, but traveling is the thing that...
Well, that's what kills you. Now, you mentioned that earlier that you don't like to travel.
Nah.
And is that one of the reasons why you don't want to work in the States? I know you just finished up with Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I just finished with Ring of Honor. And it's, once again, I need to put this out there because like, so many people just want to start stupid rumors. They were brilliant with me. They are literally wonderful, wonderful people. I love everyone backstage there. But I just can't handle it. Like, especially the style that I'm doing. Like, I found out I actually bump more moves off my comeback than anyone actually gives me any moves. So I was like, I need to definitely change something up. But
sure.
But like, I've got a history of like, just a weak body. Like, I'm just a weak individual. Like, so me just, like, and I attack the mat so hard and I just feel like my body's just broken. And then when the traveling's just there, I feel like I get very, like, it's just not me. I get very attacky. Like, if people just,
it's hard to travel, man. It really is.
And if I don't want to, like, if I really don't, if I'm like, oh, I just want to be home, then I'm just such a, a moany person, and that's just not me, because I'm a bubbly guy, I'm just a cheeky guy, and then when I'm just miserable, you can just tell, like, because I just don't get along with anyone. But like, Ring of Honor was just fantastic with me. It was just, as it was coming towards the end, I was just like, I just want to go home, I want to go home, like, and it was the point of saying, right, I either do New Japan or I do Ring of Honor. And actually, the funny thing is Ring of Honor actually do less dates than New Japan, I think. But it was just because, for me, New Japan is just the thing that helped me out so much. And it was just, I feel like I can help New Japan in some ways. I wanted to stay with New Japan. And I said to all the guys at Ring of Honor, I was like, if it's okay, I'd just like my contract to terminate. But I would like to keep coming back over when you got the New Japan guys over. And they was more than happy with that. They're incredible, Ring of Honor. I love them.
Well, like you said too, just and you don't live in the States, so you're always traveling from England or wherever it is that you were at.
Especially now that I'm trying to help Australia out.
Well, let's talk about that too. You mentioned we talked about this when we had our big karaoke party, which we have to talk about in a bit as well, which is a lot of fun.
I pretty much opened for Fozzy.
some good tunes too.
Mate, we were singing.
You did a good Queen. You're a good singer.
Oh, I try. I'm a good singer.
Yeah, he did good. Well, we also had a whole lot of cocktails that night, which always makes you sound a lot better too.
Oh, yeah,
but
100%.
It was a fine palate.
I would like to hear back the recording.
Yeah. Actually, me and Woods were here in Japan. We went to a couple karaoke places and you know, we thought, oh, he sounds so great, Xavier Woods. And we watched it back the next day, Ebony and Ivory. And it's like, we were locked in perfect harmony. It was great. And I watched it back the next day and it's so f-ing rotten. I'm like, wow, I thought we were much better than this, you know?
Woods a cool guy.
He's a great guy, yeah. Man, he's like, one of the best.
So many of them.
One of the best, like, yeah.
Cool guys. I'd get
such a great guy.
Well.
But what did we sing that night? We sang Queen. What else did we do?
Stand By Me.
Yeah.
Classic one. We done a bit of a... Was it AC/DC or Guns N' Roses?
Both.
Both, yeah.
No, both,
done Guns N' Roses, definitely.
Are you karaoke, V? Do you like to go?
You don't... Until I drink.
Okay. Everybody gets into it then, right?
No one picks up a microphone until they have a bit of alcohol. Yeah.
Someone's got to go first. I think we broke the ice that night. We went first.
Oh, no. You went first with...
Was it AC/DC?
You shook me up.
You shook me all night long.
Yeah, and I was just this is such a tune.
Yeah.
You broke the ice, and then it was just like...
Then everyone's trying. Yeah, exactly.
I've got to match this now. I've got one chance.
You're good. It was good. But let's talk about Australia, though. You mentioned how you want to help that country and that scene, and what made you kind of get into that.
Okay, so it's a bit of a weird story, but like, I was so done with wrestling. I was literally just like, I need to get out of there. I'm hurt.
Done. Wow. Yeah, okay. And you're 24, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And this is honestly, I think it's because...
I think you just had no time off.
Yeah, I've had no time off. And plus, people don't know this, but I've been doing this since I was 14, backyarding as well. So I've actually been like, I was bumping on concrete and off the aprons as well. I can show you some gnarly videos, man.
So you started as a backyard wrestler.
Oh, 100%. I love backyard wrestling.
But and what are you wrestling? Do you have a ring in the backyard?
I was lucky enough. So back when I was 14, my mum actually bought me a wrestling ring for my birthday.
Where?
And put it in my back garden.
How the hell did you get a wrestling ring? Where'd she find it?
She knows a welder, and then my dad's just a handyman, so he's just like, oh, it must be plywood and carpet roll.
So they built it?
Yes, yeah, so we pretty much built a wrestling ring in my backyard.
Oh, you must have been the coolest kid in school.
I was 100% was the coolest kid I know. But, like, it was just cool to me because, like, my mum used that as a method to try and keep me off the streets because, obviously, Essex is a bit of a rough area.
That's where you're from, Essex. Yeah.
And I was just battered and...
So you guys were doing a lot of the hardcore matches and that sort of thing?
No, I was never a hardcore wrestler, but I would do like these crazy big bumps. Like I would springboard off the top. Someone would throw a chair. Like I'd just say, don't do hardcore. I'd just say, throw a chair. Like, I would literally just fall back and take a back bump onto nothing but grass and dirt.
Just like in front of nobody?
Yeah, in front of no one.
Wow, yeah.
Like...
I used to do that when I was in high school, and the company was called the BTWF, the Big Time Wrestling Federation, and it was me and my friend, and we each played like 10 or 12 characters each.
Same.
And like schizophrenics, right? And then you put together the match. We would do it on the big gym mats, but the big thick ones are called porta, I don't know what they're called, but they were really thick mats. You could fall on it and it'd be like almost like a mattress, but it was a gym mat.
It was like a crash mat.
Crash pad, yeah, like a big thick crash pad, and we would wrestle on that.
Well, with our lot, like, we would have like, so this was like a real thing, so it'd be like promotions, but like like an independent thing, but in backyard. So you'd have one in Luton, you'd have one in Newcastle and stuff like that, and you would travel, but we'd have like a big forum, like a big group chat to go talk to each other. Oh, we're doing a show today. Cool, I'll come up. Like, and that was legit how we like would book shows, and people would just show up.
So people would actually be watching, or are you just the guys in the ring?
Yeah, but like it'd all be like all your mates, like all these backyarders all around the ring, and they'd all do the chants and all like encourage each other. It was really cool.
Yeah, that's cool, right?
But like, I remember we'd always monthly go up to Luton all the time, and there was these stiff gym mats. Like, and every time you'd hit them, like it would just rattle your bones.
Sure.
So like,
by the time you debuted as a pro, you're already beat up from backyard.
Yeah. But like, you couldn't let anybody really know, but like, as soon as I got like onto the independent scene a little bit, I just told everyone, yeah, it's a backyarder. Like at the end of it, like I said to myself, I want to learn the proper style. Like, but what no one really knew is that, while I was the Progress champion, and you've heard of Progress.
Yeah. It's a company in England.
In front of my mates, I would be finishing like a Thunderbuster. I won like that, their main title, and then the next day would be backyarding with my mates. Like I would wrestle Ricochet, and then the next day be backyarding in front of my mates. Like,
wow,
I'd love
you
it.
You just like, loved it so much.
Yeah, I just love wrestling. I think it's funny to me, but because I was so battered, and then I wanted to go visit B's parents anyway. They came over to visit my family. I love them, brilliant. And
they're New Zealanders.
Yeah, they're New Zealand. And I was like, oh, I want to go over there anyway. So I was just like, and then I was like, ah. While I'm over there, I might as well wrestle. I've never wrestled in New Zealand and Australia. So I might as well, while I'm over there. And one of my mates, Trav, actually said, there's nothing in New Zealand. Australia's good, but there's nothing in New Zealand. But
I think the only thing is Rockstar Spud's best friend, he lives in New Zealand now, and he's opened his own promotion, which is like really...
It's starting to get like a real buzz about it.
So there's a scene happening.
Yeah, so there's like a little scene like starting to buzz. So by this time, I'm already like, oh, I want to get away from the English scene. Like, it's just murdering me. Like, I don't feel like I'm needed here anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'd done New Zealand, and I was like, okay, that was good, actually. That was real good. I've wrestled a guy called Shane Sinclair. Really, really nice guy. Wrestled for Southern Pro Wrestling.
Okay.
And from there, I was like, then we stayed there. He looked after us so well. We got to stay with a pug, and I love pugs.
A pug?
So yeah.
Harry.
It's brilliant, yeah.
And, Harry the pug.
Yeah.
And then, shout out to Harry the pug, if he's listening.
But then the next week, we went over to Sydney. And I got to do like a training seminar. Normally, like with my training seminars, I'm a bit of like, I get really excited, like really easy. So I'm just like teaching these guys Ranas and Dragon Ranas, and they're all loving it and they're all reacting. I was like, let's do Canadian Destroyers. Like, I was so much fun with it. And by the end of it, I was like, how long have you been wrestling? Like, to one of the weakest guys that are on there. It was like, 6 months. I went, what? Like, and you're this good. You're doing a Dragon Rana at 6 months? Like, like, you weren't even allowed in a ring, like, 6 months.
I don't even know what a Dragon Rana is.
The front flip catch.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's pretty intricate stuff.
Yeah. But, like, I was, like, so impressed with him. I was like, that's incredible. And then I started, we actually had a talk about it, and we talked to our parents about it, about potentially moving over. And it was just like, I could easily get a residency off of her spouse, because she's got a residency, but I came over on like a visa.
Okay.
So then
you've got a residency B because your parents live there?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Gotcha. So then I was thinking to myself, I was like, you know what? I could really do with like just wrestling in Japan, and then because there's not many scenes out in Australia. There's like maybe two or three big ones.
Cities?
No, scenes.
Scenes, like, gotcha. Yeah.
Like big promotions that have got like some type of internet reputation behind
gotcha.
It. That work with like guys like Progress and stuff like that. So then I was just like, oh, let me see how it goes. And I wrestled for PWA, and I wrestled a guy called Robbie Eagles, which, funny enough, is another backyarder. And we knew each other all this time, but like, it was the first time we ever met. It was like, this is incredible.
It's like a secret society. You're a backyarder.
Yeah, yeah. And like, I just remember getting in the ring with him. I was like, you're really good. Like, why are you not everywhere? Like, and he went, I've done 0-1 before, but that's about it. And I was just like, you should be like in PWG, you should be in Ring of Honor. And that annoyed me, that the fact that, and I was just like, right, I know what I've got to do. I've got to get the buzz about this place, and I'm going to get people's eyes on this place. So I was just like, right. And I did actually mean it at the time, and I still do mean it. I was like, I'm planning on getting permanent residency and moving over here. So that everyone's just talking. I was like, Will's moving to Australia. And I honestly, I still want to do it. I still really, really want to do it. It's just getting the right visa. So then after that, I then wrestled a guy called Adam Brooks, and oh my God, he was so good. And like, it's so weird. I have these incredible matches in New Japan, but I hands down put those two as my best matches that I've ever had.
Like, with the Australian guys. Yeah. Wow.
And I they really helped me out, because I was like, I was so done with wrestling. I was like, now I'm motivated. Now
you're excited,
guys.
Right.
And I want to help these guys out so much. And, and I spoke to them about it, and they said they're going to look into possibly getting me like a proper visa, like to stay. And I was like, you know what? I want to help. I really do want to help these guys. So I'm going back over there in February with the missus, but we're going for a wedding.
I'm not going to Australia.
Yeah, but you're not going to Australia, but we're going for a wedding. But while I'm over there, I'm going to wrestle again. And I'm going to try and go out there in July and August, and maybe one in December as well. So
just by being out there,
I feel like I'm helping.
Name value would increase business.
I feel like I'm helping them, like, because once again, no one really wants to travel to Australia because the flights are just...
Yeah, so far, right?
Yeah, it's just so far. But like, no one wanted to come to England once upon a time. No one, there wasn't hardly a scene, an independent scene in America once upon a time. But if you can just get the right buzz going and the right excitement going, I feel like you can achieve anything. So I was just,
sure. And if you lived in Australia, that's, I think, a closer flight to Japan as well, right?
It is 8 hours as well.
Yeah.
And that's actually the one thing I kept saying to B. I was like, it's an 8-hour flight. We're going to be doing Japan
a
lot more.
So, would you move to Australia, B?
I think the only problem I had with it is I was like, I only left New Zealand like just under 2 years ago because there was no scene and I was really bored. So, and then I was kind of like, for Will, it's okay, because he's made his name. But I was like, I've only been wrestling in, like, this is my second year wrestling in England. Oh, this will be my third this year. But at the time, it was my second year. So I was like, I haven't done enough. If I went, I would just be forgotten.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And would drown.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, oh, okay, you were there, now you're not. Okay. So I was kind of like...
Especially now that you're starting to get over really well with the Progress audience, I feel. And like your name was... Like she came back from the Stardom tour and she only had one wrestling gig. Mm. But there was, and then she'd done that gig. And there were just loads of promoters in that day. And I was like, can you wrestle on our show tomorrow? And now it's like, great. It's just spread out there. And like people are starting to be like, wow, she's actually good. So I was like,
you're starting to build your name now, right?
Yeah, like everyone was telling me, like, I got multiple messages just like from promoters as well, just saying like, you've improved so much since going to Japan. Like I got like, yeah, Defiant messaged me out. I got Progress messaged me out. I got like, pretty much everyone's just like, you've improved ridiculously from
all like the
just
UK. Like
so,
indie.
So does Will help you with your matches and critique your performance?
Yeah, I get Will to do it because Will's not afraid to hurt my feelings. So, like, I hate it like when people are too nice to me because I know there's one trainer I had and he was just telling me everything I would do was perfect.
Yeah,
and I was like, well, I can't learn from that. Like, tell me I'm doing something wrong so I can get better.
Her first match I saw was against Nixon Newell, and like she just made no noise. She came backstage. She was like, how was that? I went, shocking. Like, she just blocked right there. But, like, I don't just say it for, like, no reason. I do say it, and then I go, but here's how we can improve it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm always...
But that's nice what guy. You need, though. In WWE, that people would always come ask me, what do you think of my match? And I'd always be honest. There's some good things, but always some things that I didn't like, because that's how you get better. Like you said, I remember asking Ric Flair, as if there's any other one, Dave Flair, not really, asking Flair.
all the Flairs.
Yeah. What did you think of my match in WWE? He's like, I loved it. It was great. And like, is there anything I can do better? No, it was perfect. I'm like, you didn't even fucking watch it. Like, you can't tell me that it was a perfect match because it wasn't. Tell me what I can do better. Yeah. And a guy like Arn Anderson would always tell you, or Jimmy Hart was great for that. You can do this better. That's how you learn.
Yeah, because they're the guys I actually like. I love guys like that. I want to learn from like guys like Fit Finlay as well. Like, I'd love to just sit down and just pick his mind.
Right.
But like, I also get to pick the minds of like Gato and Okada and like Ishii. And like, the biggest lesson I learned, and this is such a weird one, was from Shibata.
Mm.
Like, just getting in the ring with him, because like, I feel like Gato saw my match with the Ricochet and it was just like, it was cool. Like, and you could do all these tricks, but now let's put you in a fight. And like with Shibata, it was like, how is the wrestler going to meet the...
So he put you in a match with Shibata. Yeah,
and he gave me that trust to basically say, like, go on, like, wrestle with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we mixed the two styles together. And that's when I feel like learned how to put a real, like...
See, but of course you can do that. And that's what I was laughing before when you talk about the Ricochet match. You know, you trained in England. I know backyarder, but still, you know how to wrestle. It's not just a guy who's flipping and flopping in a spot monkey. That's the type of match that you decided to do with Ricochet in that scenario. And then with Shibata, well, of course you know how to, you know, exchange holds or punch a guy in the face if need be or whatever it is as well, right?
Yeah, well, that's the... I just think people just got this one-dimension thing about me. Just, doesn't know this, doesn't know how to tell a story, doesn't know how to sell. And I was just like, oh, but I do. Just give me a chance.
Yeah, just let me show you the different scenarios that I can do.
And that's the thing. Like, that's what I've just wanted to do from now on, is just that, like, I just be giving me opportunities, because, like, juniors aren't meant to face the heavyweights. They're meant to stay in their own division. But then I was just kind of like, can I have a chance? And then they put me against Shibata, and I was so happy with that. I was just like, that's the... definitely a match you want.
Because that's funny though, you know, when the first time I saw you was after that Fukuoka beatdown thing, and I was walking
through. You just get the crap out of me without even joking. You walk past a lot of cameras that I just froze.
But I remember I saw you out of the corner of my eye, but I was in character and I was, you know, yelling at the reporters or whatever the fuck I was doing.
And you knocked a legit policeman's head off.
I knocked
Honestly, I've never been more scared.
Really?
Like, yeah, he was a legit police officer.
I flipped his hat off?
Yeah, because you walked past and you just flipped it, and I was like, he's going to get arrested. Like, he's literally going to get arrested in Japan.
Oh my gosh. But I remember thinking out of the side of the corner of my eye, I think that's Will Ospreay, but he's a lot bigger than I thought, just by the style that you do. You must be 6 feet tall.
Yeah, 6 foot.
Six. I mean, so that's a big guy. So I don't understand what a junior heavyweight and heavyweight. You look like a heavyweight to me.
I'm trying to put on weight now.
Yeah.
That's one of my main missions now. Like, I want to do the junior heavyweight division for another 2 years, but I do really want to move up to heavyweight. I want to do the G1.
Mm-hmm. I think junior heavyweight is more of a style.
Yeah, I think it is. You know? But like, I think it's how you progress from that style in a weird way. But I do want to show that I'm working towards it. I've been putting on weight now. Like, it's actually really weird how I've put on this weight, because like, I don't eat that good.
Like, it's like a freak of nature. He works out once a fortnight and all of a sudden he's jacked.
But like, for that whole tour that we done where you came for the Fukuoka tour, like, it was literally a 6-week tour, which was murderous.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time I was just long. eating and working out. And like, because I don't work out.
Mm.
No one's really taught me how to work out. So I just like, I maybe had like a couple of personal trainers that I was like, okay, so this is what I meant to do.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah.
And then people would teach you along the way. And I was like, this is the first time I actually went really hard from a workout. And I was 79 kilos. And within that month, I got to 85. So I was actually really happy with myself. I was like,
sure. Yeah, I mean, that's 200 pounds, right?
Yeah.
That's 6 foot.
So I'm touching it. So I'm 190 pounds right now.
Okay. Yeah. So you gain another 10 pounds. You're a heavyweight.
Heavyweight. Yeah.
Yeah. There
so
you go.
I was actually really happy with myself. I was like, oh, this is.
Because, you know, I saw Okada yesterday at the dojo. And he's a pretty tall guy, but he's not super jacked. He looks like a swimmer or something. He's in great shape, but he's
without the idea of a card of
But then I also saw Naito, and I was saying to myself, dude, he's Eddie Guerrero. He's Eddie's size.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when Eddie wasn't even super jacked. It's like he's not. I mean, you're bigger than both of those guys. Maybe not Okada, but you're about the same height.
I think I'm the same height as Okada.
And so it's like I think you definitely will be in the G1. It's just a matter of time, yeah. Right? Just depending on where they need you, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I think Gato right now, he's even said, like, I need you in the junior heavyweight division.
Yeah.
Because I think that's why we're in a dome for the Fatal 4-Way, because there's literally four of us. There's me, Hiromu, Kushida, and Marty. I don't know, Hiromu's got desires of moving up to the heavyweight division. Mm-hmm. I think Kushida has as well. But like right now, they're like, we need you here because there's no other junior heavyweights.
Mm-hmm. Right. You mentioned Shibata. Was he good?
Mate, he was so good.
Yeah.
Like, because honestly, like, I remember going backstage with him the first time. It was like, okay, you and Shibata are going to square off. I was like, really? Like, yeah. I was so excited. I was like, how about we do this, that? And he was just like, nah. And listen to Tommy. No.
Really?
I was like, oh, have I offended? And he was just like, nah, we're going to wrestle. I'm going to push you against the ropes, clean break, and just going to boot me in the face. Okay. Like,
yeah.
And then we just got into a slug. And then I was just like, I came backstage. I was like, I really enjoyed that. Like, just getting into a fight with someone and like.
Actually, a different style for you. Yeah.
And I was like, that's cool. And then I got to do that the whole tour. Like, it was just me and Shibata the whole tour.
Mm.
So just learning and. Yeah, what is awesome.
What a shame about the headbutt.
Mate, I'm guarded about that. There's a part of me that doesn't even think it was the headbutt. I think it was a cause behind a lot of the things, but I don't think it was.
What do you think? It was just a combination of things?
I think it was like a combination of things, but like, I think, I don't know if you, I don't really want to put any blame on anyone at all. Like, mm-hmm. But did you watch the match?
I just saw the headbutt. I just saw the gif.
Well, there we go. But like the final, like he was fine after that headbutt, moving fine, looking fine, talking fine, like doing everything fine. And then it was the final Rainmaker, and then it was just, there was a problem. So I was just like, I wonder if it was that.
Maybe, yeah.
Because it was quite high up, so I wonder if it was that.
But that happens sometimes. If you saw when Pedro Aguayo passed away in the ring, he worked for a little while, maybe afterwards or before. Actually, no. He got, I can't remember, the 619.
Yeah.
But he had taken a bump earlier where he looked like he had hurt himself and then continued on to the 619. I don't think it was the 619. I think it was the bump.
Because it was a drop kick.
Yes. He took a bump. Yeah. Yeah. That was it. The drop kick into the 619. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the thing with our job. Is you never know,
really know
what it is. And we just continue through.
Well. But I saw him today. He's getting better.
Shibata?
Yeah, I saw him today. He's getting better. He's
better as in, was he
like
out of?
Yeah, like he's walking fine. Like,
so when it happened, he couldn't even walk properly?
I mean, like you saw him at the, I don't know if you saw him at the end, but he lost control of his whole right side.
Oh,
like,
wow.
And because he stays true to his character, like he doesn't like it when the young boys help him out backstage. But you, like, so he's just walking. I wasn't there on that day, but like, it all came true when everything came out about the brain hemorrhage and stuff like that. And it was just like one of those scary moments where you're like, oh my God. Like,
yeah, it's
no
real.
No one really knows.
Because, you know, because in wrestling, you think, oh, it's a work. It's just a big, that, it's a big work,
like,
right?
But even if you think, all right, he's got a head injury, or it's probably a concussion, but you don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one really knows like what you've really got. And I think that's what many people think. Maybe it was just a concussion, but like, when it, I think it just all became a bit of a reality. Like,
right.
What is happening here?
Sure.
Like, I was really upset.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And what a huge loss for the company as well.
Oh, mate. And it's such a weird thing, though, but the story is so good. Like, you know, like, he obviously left New Japan to, and then came back, and he had to fight his way through New Japan to earn their respect again. And, like,
gotcha,
it's in a weird way. Like, he actually sacrificed everything.
Mm-hmm.
To, it's such a good story in a weird way.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gutted about it. I was like, I really wanted him to come back to England.
Mm.
He loves England. Like, he wrestled Zach and Chris Hero and so many times. He's just such a good wrestler. Mm-hmm. I'm so gutted.
B, when you did Stardom, obviously there's a lot of Japanese girls there. Who were some of the best ones that you worked with?
Kagetsu was definitely, she's the Stardom tag champ at the moment with Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
And, I had two matches with them, maybe two tag matches anyway. I might have had a six man, I can't remember. It's sad, so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Kagetsu, she's like ridiculously athletic. She's one of the head trainers as well. But she just, whenever she does something, it just looks like such a breeze. And then you try it and you're like, oh my God, like I'm just falling on my ass doing this. Like, how is this like a thing?
Right.
And then when you wrestle her, she's always like, yelling at you in Japanese, it just brings this up. I'm like, oh, f-ing, come on, then. Like, I was like, you want to go? Like, but no, Kagetsu was one of my favorites, and then of course, Io Shirai as well.
Like, now she's really good, right?
Only had like
the biggest crush on her ever.
So do I.
Oh, do you? She's cute, right? Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah.
She's got such a sexy, deep voice. I'm like, oh, even I'm attracted to Io. I think she knows it as well. I gave her a lap dance.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
But no, please I only find wrestled the footage. Please Io find the once on a 4-on-3 tag match, and I think I did, like, two little spots with her, but I was just like, God damn it, Io. She's so
good.
But I love watching her as well.
What were, as we wind down here, what were some of the biggest, strangest things for you when you first came to Japan for you guys?
I could tell you a real funny story about walking in Roppongi just drunk so bad. And like, I was so drunk and I convinced myself, Roppongi from here is like a 45-minute drive.
Yeah, it's far.
Yeah, it's really far. So I convinced myself that I could walk it.
Oh my gosh, it's great.
So I started walking. I didn't get far. But then I found like this there was this shop and it was all red and blacked out windows. And I was like, what the f*** is this shop? And I poked my head through and there's like four grown men with their trousers around their ankles, like tugging their f***ing dicks. I was just like, and one of them was wearing a wedding ring. I was like, you got, what the f***, man?
What was it, like a rub and tug place or something?
I think so. But like on the screens, it was like an octopus and a schoolgirl like and anime, like those anime things.
Oh,
like,
right.
I was like, what the f***? Right. And this was like only my, oh man, maybe my third week in Japan. Like, this was my first tour.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I am mortified. Like, this is, what are you doing? You're married. What are you doing? Like, you've got a wedding ring on your finger. Go on. Like, I was knocking on the window, putting them off and everything else. And then I found the rest of the guys. And I was like, take me home. I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah. You can't unsee that as well for the rest of your life. What would you be?
I don't know. Like, I didn't really see anything, like, crazy weird. I just...
Like, the food or anything like that? Or
Rosie took me out for, like, full-on Japanese sushi. And, like, I don't think I've ever had proper sushi before that. And I was like, I mean, it's nice, but I'm too, like, fished out. Anything else here? But
yeah.
No, I can't really think of anything, like...
For me, the weirdest thing was seeing, corn on pizza. Still always bothered me. And then the little squids, so it'd be corn and squid. Like, we're getting pizza. Oh, great. To me, I'm like, pepperoni or squid and corn was on that, which was great. And you're like, what?
Real pizza?
No.
No, it's awful.
Yeah.
What have you done to our pizza?
Like, it's weird how fans will come up and want to buy your gear for like 50,000 yen. That's like the first offer. And it's like,
Let's see how high I can go.
Yeah, right.
One of the girls, she sold like, two sets of her gear. One of the other ones, she wanted to sell some, but she was like, no, I need it for the rest of the tour. I was like, just sell it.
So fans would want to buy your gear that you wore?
Yeah. And
of course.
Yeah. It's just, I was like, I kind of need this. So
right.
maybe not.
Not even a hello, how are you? Hope you're well. Can I wear your gear?
Yeah.
Like the point of view would be like, 2000.
What I like about Japan is like there's all the fans are in the lobby, but and they all come up to me for a picture. I just go no. Like I can be an asshole here,
and they just understand.
They like it.
They leave you alone.
You know, yeah. They just leave you alone. Okay, bye. You know, that's it.
We understand.
But super polite, right?
Yeah. That's you're the biggest asshole to him ever. Like, leave me alone. They're just like,
yeah.
It's brilliant. I love them. Like I love everything about Japan. I think the culture is brilliant. I love like the style of wrestling over here. I love learning from them, and I feel like it's like especially for me, right? Before I came to Japan, I've obviously done America, but like probably went to Spain once. Like swam with some dolphins. It was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
So like coming over here, like it's just such an experience, and like. Sometimes we just look out the window and you're like, man, it's a Tokyo Dome. Like, how mental is this? Like,
such a beautiful area too with the Ferris wheel over there and everything.
And like
that.
They're all just to themselves. Like you'll be on the train and they'll just like part way for you. Like,
yeah.
It's just so polite over here. I love it.
Taxi drivers with the white gloves and a hat.
Yeah, that's like glove compartments and they're actually wearing the gloves. No one... It's mind-blowing to me.
Good call.
It's actually mind-blowing. No one's like a glove compartment in a car. Is it for your gloves? No one's wore gloves for like how many years? And they're doing it. Do you know what I love most about Japan?
What?
How far behind they are on songs. Timber is still hot around here. I go to a nightclub, all of a sudden it's like, it's going down. I'm yelling Timber. I'm like, this is my jam from like 2 years ago. Yeah. And I can dance.
Oh, yeah, good stuff. Final question. So what's your favorite match that you've ever had, Will, and B? And then also, what's your favorite match that each, like, B, what's your favorite match of Will's? And Will, was your favorite match of B's?
Oh, and hers is easy. She had a match over in Japan with Tony Storm. I love Tony Storm.
Oh, yeah.
She's English too,
she's
right?
She's Australian.
No,
Australian?
She's born in New Zealand.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God, what a mind.
Yeah, and then she moved to Australia when she was tiny.
But, yeah, that's my favorite match that you've done.
In Stardom?
Yeah, we were the first female wrestling in Taiwan.
Mm.
So, that's the first time I thought, like, I saw you actually be, like, really good. Like, I watched that and just be like, wow, I'm not looking at you. It's like, oh, it's my girlfriend wrestling and she's trying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm actually like, this is really good. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, crap. I'm starting to get jealous now. People are, oh, no.
You won't be Will Ospreay's girlfriend. You'll be B. Priestley's boyfriend. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's the worst.
And what's the favorite match you've had?
For me, oh, God. There's been too many, but like, I would say Kushida and the Best of Super Juniors. I felt like I was struggling so hard to win the Japanese crowd over. And by the end of it, like, even though Kushida won the Best of Super Juniors, they were just all on me and there was just, chanting so loud, and I was just like, it broke me, man. Like, I'm an emotional ass kid. And like, the moment I chanted, I was like, oh.
I like the match you have with Travis Banks, like, the other day.
Actually, that's...
Yeah.
Just in Australia?
No, in progress,
right?
It's actually a few days ago.
Mm.
Few days before we're going over to Kingdom, we're literally headbutting each other as hard as we could. Like,
stop! No more headbutts!
No.
Enough of the headbutts.
Mate, we're English. We got hard heads. We're good. That was my go-to weapon when I was a kid. Was like, because I don't know if you ever heard of a film called Green Street, but like, it was a hooligan film, and there was this hooligans are so famous for their headbutts and stuff like that. So I was just like, I can do this. My first fight I ever done headbutting someone. It was the worst mistake I ever made in my life. But hard head, man. My mum told me a story once upon a time. I got in a fight with a goat and I won.
What?
Yeah, this is a true story.
The goat and knocked the goat out.
This is a true story my mum told me.
What do you mean? Why were you fighting a goat?
It stole my grape.
It stole your grape?
As a kid.
Like, how old were you?
Grapes. I don't actually know.
Okay, so you're a kid.
Like,
you
a young kid.
You
and then apparently this goat, like, stole my grape. And now I'm in, like, a tug of war with the goat. My hand is in its mouth. So I just headbutted it and it let go. And it's like laid on the floor. I was like, yeah, I won. So,
that's my tagline for the show. Will Ospreay wins fight with goat.
Yeah. People actually think it's you now. People think it's you.
Oh, thank you very much, guys.
No, thank you, mate.
It was fun.
All right, thanks to Will Ospreay and Bea Priestley for hanging out with us on Valentine's Day. It'll be fun to see what the future has in store for both. I predict big things for Will Ospreay in New Japan. I think he's going to be kind of the next Kenny Omega, a guy who goes into the heavyweight division and becomes a huge, huge star. I can tell you what the future has in store for me. The Judas Rising Tour 2018, starting in the United States, February 28th in New Orleans, Through Fire, Santa Cruz, Dark Sky Choir coming out with us. We're going all across America. The first three dates is New Orleans, Houston, and Dallas. They're going to be a great shows. We're just rocking it. We're on full throttle, full steam. All systems go here in Europe on the Fozzy Tour. We got it down. You guys are going to love it. You're going to have a great time. Come check out our special VIP program as well. You get to see a mini concert, just you, private mini concert with you and the other VIPs. We're going to play songs you haven't heard that night. We're going to play some covers. You're going to hear some of your favorites. We do it all at our VIP program. People love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. It's one of the best VIPs in the business. Go get all the information for that at FozzyRock.com and pick up all tickets for the Judas Rising Tour at FozzyRock.com as well. And I'm also coming back to the UK with the Words of Jericho tour. My sellout spoken word shows, Glasgow, I believe, is close to sellout. Manchester sold out in 7 hours. London still has some tickets available, standing room only. Get your tickets at insidetheropes.co.uk. Insidetheropes.co.uk. And of course, you got to book your cabin as well for Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. We set sail October 27th, and for as low as $150, you can reserve your cabin at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. And once you book it, your price includes everything. Remember, you book that cabin, all activities are included for free. All the concerts, comedy shows, live podcasts, meet and greets, autograph signings, includes your food even. Only thing you got to pay for are alcohol and gambling. And you'll be able to hang out with everybody on board. There, once again, I said it before, I'll say it again, this is not behind a fortress. There's we're hanging out with everybody. There's nowhere to go. It's a cruise ship, people. So you get to hang out with Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler, SoCal Val, Mick Foley, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Rey Mysterio, the Keeping It 100 crew, Conan, Disco Inferno, and Shane Helms. Beyond the Darkness will be there. Tim Dennis and Dave Schrader. Colt Cabana and Marty DeRosa doing the Unprofessional Wrestling Show. Going to be hilarious. Don Callis and Paul Lee's going to be doing Killing the Town live. Brad Williams, Ron Funches, Jim Brewer doing comedy and doing some music with the Loud and Rowdy featuring Steve Brown on guitar. Busted Open Radio is going to be there. Dave LaGreca, Phil Campbell and the Bastard Sons, King, The Stir from Atlanta, the Dave Spivak Project. If you haven't heard him, he's been here on Talk is Jericho. Go check out his new music video for Get Out of My House. The Cherry Bombs, the Darlings of Rock and Roll, Shoot to Thrill, the world's best female AC/DC cover band, Blizzard of Ozzy, the world's greatest Ozzy cover band, and of course, it's funny, I've been doing some interviews here and I had somebody in Germany go, how come you booked the Blizzard of Ozzy and not the real Ozzy? I'm like, well, because the real Ozzy costs probably about $1 million to book. So there you go, bud. But Ring of Honor is going to be here. The Sea of Honor tournament gets a Ring of Honor World Championship shot in the future. Young Bucks, Marty Scurll, Adam Page. We got the Cody, Don't Call Him Rose. The entire Bullet Club is there. The Briscoe Brothers, Frankie Kazarian, Christopher Daniels, Jay Lethal, Delirious, Brandi Rhodes. We're announcing more talent. There's so more talent. Can we fit any more talent on this cruise ship? My goodness, we got it so jam-packed for you. Go to ChrisJerichoCruise.com and pick up your cabin now. Do it now. All right. Thank you so much. Coming up this Friday, Scott Ian from Anthrax returns to take us all access. He's talking about his new book. He's hilarious. He's a great guy. Scott Ian returns to Talk to Jericho on Friday. We'll see you then. In the meantime and in between time, stay hard, stay hungry, peace, love, and hugs. The big yeah, boy.